to be here. That is the truth. No matter how tired I ever get to be, I still am very happy to be here. And we're to serve the Lord. It's quite a little difference in our crowd tonight. It was last night. It was a long day. Yesterday was a very long day. And of course that was people were tired and worn for the night. And now we're starting another week, which is the longest service that I have ever held in my life. And I trust that it'll prove out to be a great blessing to all. I'm just about as tired as I ever was in my life. It was seemingly that wouldn't make you tired. But if I would just give you some little inside picture that you might know what I mean. Those visions, that's what weakens me. The supernatural working on a natural man. Someone met me and tell me about that picture and said, "Brother Brown, that don't look like you." I said, "Well, if that was saying if the angel of God was that close to you as it was, it probably does change you a little bit." Now think of being under that constantly, day in and out. Then I had to get out somewhere and give vent to myself. To God, why you just get so weak you can't hardly go. It looks like your strength is just gone. And then another thing, when you're in a meeting like this, a mass meeting, and people are praying, that affects me no matter where I am. It affects you. The angel of the Lord is a moving, you see, and pulling on you constantly. Might seem strange, maybe a little different from your teaching, but we can only testify what is true. Truth. And now, I hope to get to return again sometime to Cleveland up here to have a meeting when we can come back and thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I will try. I feel that it's greatly needed here at Cleveland. If I should come back again, it'll be better. It'll be easier to start then. This is kind of pioneering. Looked like everybody was bypassing Cleveland, leaving it go. But seemingly something told me to come to Cleveland. Here's where it was to come. They're most of the people there belong to these kind of churches and that. But no matter what they belong to, all of us is to hear the gospel and to see those who struggle for the cause. I was sent to those people, those men who withered the storm, and they taught these things and believed that and looked forward for it to come. Now if it's come, it's to all of them, everywhere. And I was talking to a minister friend of mine today from Del Rio. He and another minister just flew in here. There's a plane sitting down here at the coast now in the little hangar down there. So I said, "Well, our crowd hasn't been very big, but it's been one of the sweetest meetings I've ever in. Just seen such a harmony among the people, the ministers. Everybody, one heart, one accord." My brother Lindsay told me, "Could you just stay a few more extra days?" I wanted to do it because I'm looking for something to happen that I've prayed for and seen it one time in my life. That's for an entire congregation to be healed at once. Everything healed just at once. It looks like with such unity and such cooperation in the Spirit that this could happen. And as the meetings begin to draw towards a close, the anticipation of the people, they know they must rest some way. And they'll just reach out and accept it just on the ground. And usually the last night of the service usually produces better than all the service. Because it's the last night and people say, "Well, this is my last chance. I've got to reach." And all they have to do is just make a reach. It's there. Just as sure as God's there, it's there. And they'll find it, but they're just a little afraid to step out, you see. And then I want the ministers of the congregation And remember this, the minister's brethren, there'll be people in your churches that's been crippled that you'll notice they're going to start walking. There'll be people there that's been sick that'll walk up and say, Brother Pastor, I had something to lie to get in the prayer line, but you know, that's left me. See? And it, I'm standing on the platform, you can just feel it pull and then let up. It's over, see? They may not recognize it, but it is, see? Just watch what happens. Got to. If they'll just halfway believe it, it'll be right. And now, do this. Last evening, I've had very much of a tussle and praying over a matter that God has been dealing with me on something, and that is about such a miraculous amount of faith in here and can touch just such a few people each night. That's one thing that's always bothered me. Now, there's no newcomers. You've all been to meetings before, have you? Let's see how many has been here before. Raise your hands over. About that here. That's fine. Now, you understand the meeting and how many of you have been here for a long time. And many of you have been sitting here waiting to be prayed for. I heard today that one man had received many prayer cards and never had got into the prayer line yet. He's been up almost the prayer bench, and some of our fellows are very sick. We have no control of that. God alone does it. Maybe the man's faith is just not right yet. But if you believe with all his heart, it'll be all right anyhow. And what I've always wondered, could I minister to all the sick? That's what's been my heart's desire. I tried it, I told you one time, stayed at the pulpit for 8 days and nights. Couldn't get more, thousands and thousands more at the end of the 8 days. Well, I never left the platform. I slept here, eat here, and everything. I had the pulpit for 8 days and nights. I did. I've taken about an 8 month vacation after that. I had, in other words, I couldn't get out. I was just in a nervous break. It just like to kill me. So then I knew then that I must use a little more wisdom than what I had. Jesus never even tried to touch the people like that. Is that right? Let's just get right down to our hearts, and I want to tell you something. And we want to talk just for a few moments, just heart to heart. Now, I realize, and you realize too, in ministry, that a man can take a divine gift and send his soul to hell with it. You know that? A gift from God. Now, I don't mean it's something that you imagine. I mean if God has really given something and give it to your charge, you've got to use that with the wisdom of God. Now, I've never in my life taught the congregation like this. Especially congregation of healing and something. But the thing that I want to see, I want it so bad, and that's the reason I'm talking to you the way I am. Now remember, divine gifts can easily get a person into trouble. That God, if he finds someone that he figures that he could entrust the divine gift with, we should reverence with all of our hearts. Now remember, how many believe Moses was a divine gifted prophet of God? He was. Everyone believes that. But Moses, with that same divine gift, got himself in trouble. Did he? God told him, said, you go speak to the rock. He'd already smitten the rock once, but go speak to the rock. And that rock was Christ, is that right? And Christ wasn't smitten the second time. We just speak to him that one. He was smitten once. And he brought forth the waters of life. And we just speak to the rock now, and it brings forth the waters. Like God so loved the world. The rock in the wilderness is the perfect of John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those Israelites were perishing, and the rock was smitten and brought forth life, water. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes on him should not perish, a perishing generation of people. Should not perish, but have everlasting life by speaking to the rock. But Moses went down there and smote the rock. He got angry. He forgot all of his, he lost control of himself. got all worked up and excited because of the people, and he just smote the rock again, and it didn't bring his water, but he smote it again. Is that right? Now, he was a divine prophet sent from the presence of God, born in this world to be a prophet, a vindicated prophet. The signs and wonders, the pillar of fire followed him. And we know that he was a prophet sent from God. And God had entrusted him with that power. And as far as I know, Bible readers, I'm not much of a scholar, because I never got just a grammar school education. Seventh grade at that. Look. But here, the only place that I can see in the Bible where the program of God was ever broke and all the types was right there. When Moses spoke the rock the second time to bring out the water, regardless if it wasn't God's will, we know it wasn't God's will, we'll admit that, don't we? But Moses had power to bring it, whether it was God's will or not. Is that true? We know it was against God's will, but God had entrusted his servant with that power, and he spoke the rock, and he didn't come back for his water. Sure, it wasn't God's will, and he smote it again. He called for it. It had to come. Right. He's endowed with that power. He brought forth water. It was against God's will. God dealt with Moses later about that. Is that right? You remember Elijah? Young fellow went bald headed when he was young. The little children begin to holler and said, old bald head, why did you grow up? It was Elijah. Remember that? That angry prophet now turned around angry and cursed those children in the name of the Lord, and just scared, went out of the woods and killed 40 people in the field. Is that right? That's not the nature of the Holy Spirit. You know that. But that prophet was angry. See? You have to be careful what you do. Therefore, when people come up here for you, I'm watching it. And I see you sometimes run up here with a divine gift. You just examine that case perfectly, right through. And if something didn't put on that person, a person sickness, some kind of appetite. Sickness sometimes is disease and affliction. Is God's whip bringing people back to the past? Either God's back. All right. Not every time it's like that. Remember the boy at the gate? He said, he or his father or his mother. Remember that? Jesus said, in this case, here's that work of God. Now you have to know those things. That's why on each case I examine it real closely. I know right where I'm standing. Now if I ask once it doesn't leave, then I'll check both. And then if I don't see nothing, I'll leave it alone. Well, God showed me how to do it. I have to watch that. Because there might be something put on that person. God intended to be there to bring them to a certain thing. You come right back around and take that thing off what God put on before you stand before God. And if God's induced you for something to do something with, you have to watch. Therefore, brothers, the divine gift. I have said this. Many of my managers and things know this too. I went to, when I first started, I was so elated with it that I would go into the city and call a meeting. I'd say, you go to the city and bring me, let the ministers or somebody, bring me somebody that they know is crippled or afflicted. Let me have that person. And I'll assure you, that person will be healed for something. And I make challenges like that. I went into Phoenix one time. I made a challenge. They brought a little crippled Mexican girl. Oh, she was horrible. An hour and 45 minutes, I had that child on the platform. Just held it. Stayed right with it. Bled to let God, let the baby loose. Baby come loose, went around, walked down off the platform. Walked down, come back. Now remember, it's Vandalia, Illinois, where I've seen one of the greatest tours I ever seen. And I said that same thing. I said, you go get a person and bring them to me. They did. A boy brought born blind, about 16 years old. I stayed right with the boy. Stayed right there until that boy received his sight. And after he did that, taking the time where hundreds were sitting to be prayed for, but put all the time on that one boy. And after I heard him screaming, and he come back, he was wandering through the crowd. He got back, he said, I told my mother that I wanted to see what the man looked like that opened my eyes. I said, I hope you see something. The Lord Jesus Christ. So he took home my tie. He said, Mother, I had outside the time. He said, is that the color? Is that the same through there? Is that what you call stripes? All of the signs. Then what color would you call it? Is that what they call right up there? Born blind, never seen them blind. While people were fainting. I went to the hotel that night. My brother Don, my little son Billy. We went to the hotel. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was lying down sleeping. Just went to sleep, but I don't sleep very much at night. Always fresh. Nighttime, all demon power is shut down for the morning. They're not rolling. That's the time the Holy Spirit moves in and talks to you. Go early if you want to pray. Drive up early. Hold all the rain workers are gone. Demon places are closing up. That causes the strain there. You don't want to be with that. Notice. And I was laying there. I woke up all at once. Now look, I thought, my, it's daylight already. I said, look there, it's daylight turning. Look out, I thought, wait a minute, the wind is back here, that's the side of the wall. And I looked again, it was a white cloud, milk, and that's it. I said, oh, I see it. There's an angel of the Lord coming in the room. Many times demons have followed me. I felt the pressure of them and fell things. Went on at me half the night here. And I got out of bed and I knelt down. I noted the spirit, but I had to find out just what it was first. I kept waiting. I felt it come around the bed. You can feel it. I said, I'm talking to you from my heart. It's just like I do not feel it now. Sometimes I feel it. It's standing right over here. I can tell it. It's standing right down here. You can tell it. It's just like a pressure in the air that's against you. Like that. You just feel it. Then when it comes close, when a patient comes up to you, pray for you, you feel it. Goes down over you. Then you don't talk to yourself. You keep doing it. It does the talk. Talk to yourself. And it'll let up. And then maybe you stop. You feel it coming back again. And watch. I see a patient stand here. Right in there. It goes back above them. I can see the things you heard them tell. You heard them been told of everything they've done in their life. Is that right? Heard them even repeat the prayer over what they said to God. Isn't that right? And all kinds of sins and things that they've done. The deal has been perfect every time. Is that right? Never fake it. What does that? I just talking just exactly what I'm thinking of. It's what I see and what I say. Sometimes I look out over the audience. I can feel something for them. I'll watch real close. Then it cuts off. It's somebody else on the other side. Maybe this way and that way. Maybe I can be real quiet and single out a certain person where there's certain things. If I get that channel, it looks like I get the rest of them somewhere else, not listening or looking on, then it'll start. Give these eyes up and start like that. And now, when I looked at seeing that, I got down on the floor and started praying. And as it got closer, I knew it was the angel of God, and I could feel what it was. And I said, what does the Lord want me to do? Never said a thing. Just long time of standing right here, the foot of the head, and I was kneeling. And I said, oh, Heavenly Father, why did you send your angel to this perfect time? And I said, your servant is risen. I waited. I knew it was still there, but I didn't open my eyes. Waited. I guess 5 minutes passed. I felt it moving closer to him. And when it did, I just heard that voice sound like way back. I could not impersonate the voice if I had to. But I heard it just as plain as audible as my voice is to you. That you're confining too much of that gift and feeling to perform the miracle. And it will come to pass that people will not believe you unless there's a miracle performed. I said, I shall never do that again. Lord, help me, God. I raised up. I laid down on my bed, and there it was, above the bed, sniffing around, like a whole lot of colors and a rainbow sniffing around. And I looked at it. I laid there a little while. I felt relief. Felt that my sickness forgive me. And I said, if my Lord hears my little boy, nothing made any noise. We had this clean bed. We had to all ever place this hook up for miles around. And we had twin beds in the room. My brother and my little boy were sleeping on the bed next to him. And I said, Billy? Billy? He didn't answer. I said, Donnie? He didn't answer. And I took my pillow, watching that. And I knew by not answering, I knew it was all right. Never said yet. And I threw my pillow like that, and it hit my brother Donnie. And I said, Donnie? He said, yes. And I said, call Billy. And Billy said, Johnny said, Billy, you're dead, won't you? Just then, I said, Billy, look. He looked, said, why do you want Daddy? About that time, Johnny jumped out of the bed, screamed, oh! And Billy said, oh, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He jumped out of bed and jumped over. He said, don't let that get me, don't let that get me. And I said, honey, that won't hurt you. I said, many times, I was single 5 years, and I've been father and mother both doing. Bottles of milk in my pocket at night, and I lay it under my head to keep it warm so I get it in the night. Mother died, we don't need 2 months old. I just had to raise me. Then both father and mother, I said, many times I'm going to be special flying. He said, Daddy, I'm so afraid you're going to go in and never come back to me again. I said, no, honey, I'll be back. I said, now, honey, that's the reason Daddy goes. That's the angel of the Lord that leads Daddy. He's just in the room talking to me. And I asked if you can see, so you won't worry about Daddy and know that that's the angel there that sees Daddy. That's what the pillar about. Like that, seeing him with colored blinking and flopping and whipping going on. Johnny, he just don't talk about the same other brother. And it's filled around like that one. And I'm good. Then he told me, now I want to get to you people something here. If I believe that you people sleeping, we'll listen and we'll eat. You know, many of you get the wrong conception of divine healing. Now, this is not a gift to perform miracles. Miracles is a separate and different gift from healing. Did you know that? The Bible says, do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the gift of miracles? But miracles are performed. That's right. It's a miracle every time somebody a vision happens and tells people what's wrong with them. That's a miracle. It's supernatural. That's a miracle. But healing. Now look, when Isaiah went up to heal Hezekiah, do you believe God sent him up there? Do you believe where Hezekiah told him he was going to die? That his house in order? Well then, when Isaiah went up and pronounced him to be healed, it was even 3 days before Hezekiah could gain enough strength to come down off his bed and go to the house of God for worship. Is that right? And when Jesus pronounced the Roman, the centurion's son healed, he said, from that same hour he began to amend. If you had a cut on your hand, you've done everything. Nothing except any worse. After a while you cut something on your hand, it began to help it. It isn't well. It's healing. And when the curse of sickness is taken off of you, not every time it's a memory. Not sometimes, it just happens spontaneously. Sometimes the curse is just gone, and the cure follows. Now listen real close so you can be sure. There's hardly a time that within the space of 72 hours after a healing has taken place, until Satan is right back to the place again. That's the Bible. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places. Then he returns with him with 7 other demons worse than he was. Is that right? You know what he goes on. If the good man of the house isn't there to hold him off, faith to believe. Now, I want you to listen closely to my condition. God knows I want this to happen. I'm weak. I dread to say that. But, Brent, do you realize I'm facing human power? And I must live right and do right. And I must be truthful. I don't care if the newspapers tell they had to drag me out. That don't make any, that don't stop it from being true. That's true. But when they lie about it, that's the lie. But when it's the truth, it's the truth. Now, I wish I didn't get weak. But I can't help it. My strength just goes right away from me. I can't help it. I wondered why it was it always makes me squirmy. And a few days ago, I was reading in the Bible of Daniel, after he had those visions, he said he was troubled in his head for many days. You remember that? Daniel. Then that gave me consolation again to help me to see that when mortal beings, when the supernatural comes upon the mortal being, it causes a conflict with the flesh. That's right. It weakens the human being, though. Even Christ, laying on the back of a boat, and those terrible waves that even so much virtue had gone out of him, so them terrible waves didn't even wake him up. Isn't that right? But when awakened, then he could still the waves in the sea. Now, see, the human part went away, went out, virtue went out while the supernatural worked. And Jesus, in many cases, went into a city and healed one person and left the city. Meet a man outside the city gate, restore his sight in, and go on somewhere else. Went into the land of Gadara, healed the one, but they thought he was healed. But then he did heal all that come to him one time to fulfill which is spoken of the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our furniture. And Jesus said that he could do nothing at all until first the Father showed him. Is that right? St. John, when he passed by that pool of Bethesda. Now, let these words sink in now. When Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda, there lay great multitudes of people that had been laying there. They, now, watch the kind of condition they were in. Lame, halt, blind, crippled, withered. Is that right? Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel came down to the church of Jesus and troubled the water. And the first one was faith, stepping in, but he was the one ever to meet yet. Someone said to me, when he's been at these five paralyzed people, leave this village here, it's been sitting there paralyzed. It's a I go down and tell those paralyzed people so we can believe. Brother, you would believe this right this second. I can do nothing at all. God gets all glory for I can do nothing. I can only do what he tells me to do. If you worked in a bank where plenty of money was, but you can only take out what they'll let you take out. Is that right? I may be in fellowship with God for all the power to heal every person in the world. That is true. But I can only do what he says do. And it's not me that does the healing. It's your own faith that contacts God and heals you. And he speaks through his gift and tells you you're healed. See what I mean? You get that? I have nothing to do with the healing. I'm just a mouthpiece for your prayer to God. See? If your prayer has reached God and he's told me that you're healed, then I believe it. And I'm speaking to you. You believe it, then you're healed. Now notice, no matter what the symptoms are now, you believe it. Now watch what he met me. Let me quote this for the last time. This time. When he came to me in the room, imagine yourself now sitting in the room. Why? Being along to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It's praying to know why I couldn't let me go back home. The little cabin way in the hill. Looking around, dark, mile and a half from any road, the little tracking place where people hunt that morning. Way back in the hill. I went back there when I started in that 6 day of May 1946. I was walking around the house, my piano player, her brother came up and said, Brother Branham, right up there, Madison with me. I said, I can't. I've got a patrol day. He said, oh, come on, go on up with me. I said, no, I can't, sir. I've got to go to Henryville patrol with me. I said, come on in, wife. Got some dinner ready. About 12 o'clock. And I was rolling up my sleeves. And he said, going around to wash in that little two-room place. He said, I said, would you go in with me? He said, no, thank you, brother. I said, Brother Ron, sir, come on. He said, no. He said, I said, well, he said, I'll see you later. I said, well, you going to church Sunday? He said, I'll see you church Sunday. I said, all right. I reached down and unbuckled his gun. I was buckled him. Before I was going in to lay my gun on the porch to watch. I had there. And just as I started under a maple tree, it seemed like the whole heavens broke up. I've been afraid of it. I've tried all my life. I've wondered what it was. I turned white, fell back. He jumped out of his car and run and said, Brother Branham, what's the matter? His wife went out with a pitcher of water, gave me a drink, said, are you fainted? And I said, no. I said, I'm all right. I said, it seemed like every leaf on that tree fell on me. I said, I don't know what that is, Brother Paul. I said, it's followed me all the days of my life. And I said, I believe that being as people have told me it's the wrong thing. I said, I remember lots of times in the Bible that when the demons had to testify of the power of Christ, a lot of times the clergyman said, why, he's Beelzebub, he's this, that, and the other. Demons said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. I've seen when Paul and Silas was up there, anyhow, from that little old fortune teller, when all them ministry up there said, oh, they're impositors. Another fortune teller went out and said, these are the men of God that tell the way of life. See, them demons recognize that gift in those men before sometimes religious teachers did. Now, I said to my wife, I said, honey, call them up. Tell them I don't know when I'll ever be back to work again, for I am now going to find out what that is or die. I said, I've got about $23 left in the bank, and I'll write you a check. And I'm going to leave, and I shall never return until I find out what that is that's followed me all my days. One says this and one says that, but I'm going to find out what it is. And I took my Bible, the little Schofield Bible, about like that, and I put it under my arms, and I took off. Now, when I read until nighttime, I got a cave I go into and be way back in the hill. But this is a little old log cabin where it used to trap. And I prayed and I prayed. I was sitting there praying, holding my mind with a power that reaches and steers on in beyond the moon and stars and the falls. Gets a hold of God way in under somewhere. Sitting there meditating, speaking on God. Getting along towards 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I'll stay right here until I die. Until something. I'm a minister. And don't let me be deceived. If you want something for me to do, if it's something you wish to speak to me, you show me signs and wonders, and people have told me to forget about it, and I was eat too much supper or something like that. I said, but I want you to tell me, Father. If it's wrong, come down now and stop it from me. Shut it off so I'll never know no more about it. I said, have mercy, God. I cried till my eyes were swollen. I said, God, I'm sincere. I don't know what to do. I don't want to fail you. I've done all that I know how to do. But what is it you want me to do? And in there in prayer, all at once I seen a light flicker. I looked around over here. Somebody coming with a flashlight? Could be a car coming back in here. Well, where was that at? Now, I looked at it, spreading out on the floor and getting bigger and bigger. I said, where is it? Looked up, and right up there hung this same thing that you see in this picture. Round, around, around that light, getting bigger and bigger. And I turned around, looked, and I heard something more. Walking, just about like this thing. Walking slowly. I heard a footstep approaching, barefooted at that. And I looked, coming across the old board floor, I've seen, under this light, what was coming down, I've seen that it was a man's foot. I've seen a white robe. Imagine how you'd see it. I said, oh my. It looked like that. It walked closer, and when it come into the full light, it's a man. Had his hands folded like this. It weighed about 200 pounds, plenty dark complexion. Plenty more like a Mexican complexion, you know, like the Spanish or some dark complexion person. Blue face, no bigger. Had dark hair down to his shoulders. Had a white robe on. And his characters, you couldn't talk about it. One of them was so unique, and it looked like, again, if he'd speak, to turn the world over. And he walked right up to me. This is smoothly. And I was just wiping my fingers until it was bleeding almost. I stepped back. I couldn't get up. I promised. I was so scared, I just couldn't move. And you and me, too. Don't think. Now, just imagine sitting way out in the wilderness like that to yourself and look around, and there stands beside of you like that. I was biting my fingers, and he just walked up to me and looked at me just to set it down and looked back. He said, do not fear. And when he said that, I know that was the same voice. First time I'd seen him as a man. I'd seen him in that whirl fire. I heard him in the whirlwind in the bush. And I'd seen all those things. And I'd heard him talk to me, show me visions. But when he spoke the first word, it's not imagination. It's an audible voice. Just as you hear mine. And the man's just as real as I'm standing here. Well, I could have shook hands with him if he'd raised his hand out. I could have pat him on the side. He's just as natural as anyone could be. And he looked at me. He said, do not fear. For I am sent from the presence of the Almighty God. He said, to tell you that your peculiar birth and life has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the people of the world. And said, now listen, if you'll be sincere when you pray, and get the people to believe you, nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer. I just stop right there on that much of the message. I I'll tell you the rest just in a few moments. He said, now you, I have appeared, in other words, from God, to tell you that your peculiar birth, which I have, that's my mother, okay, and peculiar life, that's right, no one never understood me, has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world. Seventh grade education school. How could I ever meet before? Local little Baptist preacher there in the city. He said, if you'll be sincere when you pray. Now remember, the gift was born here. I had nothing to do with it coming. No one. No one, friend. Don't never let anyone deceive you. Gifts are sent from God alone. God alone is the foreknowledge. Now there's 9 spiritual gifts in the church. They might be on, like on this man tonight and on that one over there, so forth like that. But prophecy of that type and so forth has to have 2 or 3 witnesses to look over it and judge it and see if it's right or not. But you never see them stand before Isaiah, Jeremiah, or any of them to judge them. They had thus saith the Lord from their birth. And everybody knew that what they said come to pass. They had the word of the Lord. In old times, divers places, God, sundry times, God spoke to us by the prophets. But in this last days, He spoke to us through Jesus Christ. And in the body of Christ dwell these 9 spiritual gifts, which brings any group of people, any gathering of holiness people that believe in Christ, has a right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. It circles through the body. It's in the body. It's not for any individual. It'll be on this here tonight, and that on there the next night, maybe over here another time. This person can pray a prayer of faith tonight, maybe it's on this and over here the next night. Over on that, it's a gift that's in the body, working around all of you, milling through the body, 9 spiritual gifts. This one might prophesy tonight. That's where we get trouble. One might prophesy and tell the truth. That doesn't make you a prophet. It might never come to you again. A prophet is a vindicated person from birth, coming down with the word of the Lord. A prophet, there's a difference in a prophet and a gift of prophecy. And if you notice in the Bible, healing is in plural. Gifts. G-I-F-T-S, gifts of healing. But a P-R-O-P-H-E-T is a prophet. And there's a gift of prophecy which is in the church. It's to be judged by 2 or 3 judges when it's being given. Is that true? Oh, holiness church, we're so sharp of the things of God. These real teachings what the church needs. How to set together and be mutual before God. What would the church day in the name of the holiness church ever stand before the Bible in the Bible life of the truth? See what I mean? You get little things you argue about. That's right, and that's what makes you carnal, when you argue among one another. Forget it. By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And it's your brother. Don't try to run him down. Pick him up if he's done wrong. Let's keep the body going. Now, one of these days, the body's going to come together just like that. That's right. Just like Solomon's temple cut out all the world, but when it come together, there wasn't a buzz of a saw or a sound of a hammer. It went right straight together ever. This cube went right to the right place. And that's fit together. That's the way the body of Christ will go when Jesus comes. You'll go up just arm and arm. That's right. To meet the Lord. Now, these gifts. I said, if you'll get the people to believe you. Now watch, friends. See if you get the order. Now you, mother, with the little boy here. And you, lady. And you along here that's sitting in these chairs. Whatever's wrong with you. Now get this, and all you people are sick. The gift is in God. And I can only say what He says say. I can only do what He says do. Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda. All those crippled, lame, and blind laying there, He healed one man that had an infirmity. He wasn't blind, neither was he crippled. Neither was he lame or halt. As far as I know, the Bible said he had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus healed him and turned around and walked away from them people who believed in divine healing. Is it the truth? If he, the Son of God, would turn and walk away from practically, I'd say, 10,000 people there, when the Bible said great multitudes, you know what it means. If he, with his compassionate heart, turned and walked away from them people and healed one man that was diseased in his body and went away from that whole multitude, then in question, the same chapter, John 5, the 19th verse, the Jews questioned him. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing in himself." Well, if the Son could do nothing in himself, how much less could the servant do in himself? See? I'd like to see everybody healed. I'd like to be able to say to this man in the wheelchair, and this man, and that man, and there, get up and walk. Oh, God knows how I'd like to say that. Sure, I would. But what if I would say just in myself? Why, they couldn't move. But then they say, well, he's a hypocrite. Why, there's nothing to him. But if I ever tell you to get up, you get up. Or you're going to get up. That's one thing, sure. If it don't, you wouldn't mind. You might never leave the spot where you're at. That's right. A lie. Notice, you can only do what God shows you to do. Now watch. The gift is what God has set down. Now if he said in the form of a brass serpent or a pool of water or whatever it is, you believe not the water, not the serpent, but the gift of God. Is that right? The brass serpent could pray for nobody. Neither could the pool of water pray for anybody. But God said, Jesus has set it on high, give gift back to man. And now, for God operates by the Holy Spirit through man. Man is God's agent. Now, quickly, before the time gets away, notice close. I have appeared to you, I put it in my own words. I was quoting his words. He said, "Fear not, for I am sent from the presence of God to tell you that your peculiar birth and life to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world. You'll be sincere when you pray and get the people to believe you. Nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer." Now watch the order. God sent the gift nearly 40 years, about 40 years ago. It's been in the world ever since. It's part of it. Now the thing I was to do was to pray for the sick and be sincere when I prayed. And nothing would stand before the prayer. If you can get the people to believe you. See the order now? See? The thing of it is, the thing is to get the people to believe that this is the truth. And I said to the angel, now you got that part, have you? The gift is not to the discernment. The gift is to pray for the sick and get them to believe you. You get what I mean? Nothing shall stand before the prayer, not even the cancer. That's just to pray for the sick and tell them. Then now I'm going to pray for you. You believe? I believe with all my heart. And lay hands over on them and pray for them and ask the blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pass them on. They're supposed to go away rejoicing, believing they're going to get well. The crippled supposed to believe they're going to walk. The blind supposed to believe they're going to see. Well, I said, they will not believe me because I'm uneducated. He said, as the prophet Moses was given two signs to prove that he was sent from God, so will you be given two signs to do before the people. In other words, to vindicate that I told you the truth. And he told me what they would see. Do these signs before the people. Now here is my condemnation before Almighty God, whom I stand before this night as a minister before one of the loveliest little groups of people I ever stood before. I say it from the depths of my heart, I am condemned the way I use it. Now, that's right. One thing, I'm harming the people, so many of them. And another thing, I'm not obeying what he told me to do. It will discern and bring out anything there is in this building. Now, that's true. But that don't heal the people. And as I take them one at a time, as they come up here, begin to tell them, talk to them, and so forth like that, tell them all about their diseases, never did one of the apostles do that. Never did Jesus do that. They did not do that. Yet the gift is here to do that. Now, here's what, if I could come here and produce that one time and prove that it is the truth, then every person in this building that's got any salvation at all ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, just lay your hands on me, brother, and pray. I'll get well. That's all I have to have. Now, isn't that right? Therefore, I could just meet great multitudes. But hundreds come to the meeting, go away, say, I didn't even give them the line. And I have tried and say, pass the line to an estimate. Well, he never discerned my taste. But you know what's wrong with you. You know what you've done in your life. Why should I come up here and reveal that to you and tell you the things that you've done in me? Well, you know what you've done. If you're a sinner, get right with God now. If you've done wrong, don't wait till the Holy Spirit has to call it out here for you on the platform. Get right with God right there. Confess it. Then come on in the line. It won't stop the line. You just pray for the people and let them go on, and they'll go on believing, getting well. Now listen, friends. I believe that before Almighty God, who I stand now, if I would walk from the building right now, the message that I have preached is justified in the sight of God. I believe it. For he has confirmed and performed everything that I declared that he would do. Is that right? Then, what I'm wondering now, why couldn't we have a prayer line and pray for about 100 or more of a night and not even have to stop and tell the people these things and discern all their diseases, hold them by the hands and work up their faith? Why don't you come on your own faith now, being that God has proved that he's here? Come on your own faith and go out of the building rejoicing and saying, thank God I'm healed. That's what he said do. Now, you think I'm telling the truth? Be honest in your heart. If you think the truth, raise your hand. That's the truth. I believe it, friend. Therefore, I believe 100 people each night or more could be prayed for. And dear brothers and sisters, being that I'm weak and tired, now, standing talking doesn't bother me. I could preach day in and out, it wouldn't bother me. That builds me up. But this other takes it out of me. I can bring 2 people before me now and stand here and hold them until their disease is gone. I'd be weaker than if I used a pick and shovel 8 hours today. God, who I stand before, no rest of peace. Which is something that just tears the life out of me. And I wonder if one of these nights, if God would permit, why couldn't we have a line like that? And let everybody come down and let me stand here. And if I would stop, wait for one, I want to pray for you. Not just pass you through like we used to have the old fast line. We used to come through here, and people would stand me out there, let me pray for the sick against the weak that couldn't stand up. Then 2 men, one on one side, one on the other, hold me there, let the people come by and lay their hands on me. Hundreds of them were healed. But many times they come staggered through, said he never prayed for me. They were right. He said, if you'll be sincere when you pray, it's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. If you've got faith enough, you won't even have to come here. You can be healed where you're saved. But he told me if I would pray for the sick and get them to believe me, be sincere when I pray, that's what done the healing. Their belief that God had sent his gift. Of course, he forbid me to take glory in it. I put me there. And you know, friends, that no man, no flesh could glory before God. And what am I standing here for? What am I out in these meetings for? I'm working for Christ. I have a little church at home. The size of a living for me if I go back to it. Lovely. I could go fishing every day, preach twice a week. Could I get by with that? My soul would be haunted with a bony hand reaching for it. I must stay in the pulpit till I die. Woe unto me if I don't declare this counsel of God to the people. See, of this healing power. And each year, Christ, the Son of God, is here to heal the sick and the needy. I want to read just a scripture. It's found over in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with divers diseases, and one had those who possessed the devil, and those which had the palsy, and he healed. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now remember, you believe he told the truth? Every case he healed, he's seen the Father do it first. What about that? Is it the truth?
If there's a great multitude healed, God showed him a great multitude healed. For he said with his own sacred lips, the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, in other words, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son in himself. Whatever the Father has done. Now he's here. Now, just as I said that, I felt to move up. The gift that I'm speaking of now is right here to my right. Right in the section here somewhere. Now, that is the truth. I can feel it just as you can hear my voice. Hello. Now, this is the thing. I can feel my lips getting out. I can feel that's that out here, that is here. Sometimes I look to see if I can see. I know it's anything. God is my judge. I'm getting closer and closer. I'm getting down to my back. I'm here, dear. As I've tried to be honest with you, I've done all that I know how to do. Let us breathe. Why don't you listen to the Lord? Oh, my, what a great time to be. Now, spirits of infirmity to lead the people, many would be blessed. Just put a deep sincerity. Now, I'm not saying that it is blessed. Be here right now. And I believe this in my heart. If we call a prayer line, and the people come by and not even ask for a discernment, just say, Brother Branham, to stand back here and do his angels or to pray over me. I'm going away from this place to shout and thank God for you. I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stay there and I'm going to get well. I got a minister today, a couple days ago, for me. A lady coming here dying, laying on a cot. Just in the last stage of season. She said, when she saw some other city in Jericho, they had an awful time getting to me. Said, while I was preaching, I looked down at her and said, Sister, you can tell her the things of her life, what was wrong. I said, do you accept my word? Not she did. I said, go on. You need to practice the truth. And now she's just glorifying God, pronounced well, going all around to the city. Many things. A while ago, if I hadn't been to see a lady who sent a telegram, a minister from Jamaica, someone. His wife is in the last stage and said that, could you fly here at my expense, by the way? That you're the only hope that we have to come and help our wife through the gospel. Now, when you get home, there's dozens of them. I'd get down over and pray. I'd say, God, you know, show me where to go. Then I pick out wherever he tells me, and away I go. Here, I just went in home not long ago and it was different. There's about 60 long distance airplanes that they can use, but many of them all over the country. Different places for a bit, this and that, and some one. There's one off here, and I said, honey, you know, I just come through to New York and just come back. And I said, well, there's a man there, a big television company, said, if we come to Madison Square Garden, you can put the thing on television for your daughter. That's right. Here we come here to New York. And so I'm going to give him that opportunity. So then when his mother is in need, and so then I got back and the wife said, honey, look in here. He said, my, this place seems rowdy. Everybody called me. She said, let me call him. I said, well, honey, I know I've... He said, well, here's this from this and this from that and this from this and this from that. I got different ones from this California, from Oregon, this from down in Florida, this from over here. And then she said, here's, you know, Arkansas, the mayor of the city there is by Brian Sanderson. And I said, what did you say? Holy Spirit stuff. I said, go back through those again. Went back. Oh, it was bad weather. Just the early spring, snow everywhere. And said, Mina, Arkansas, the mayor of the city, his wife, dying of cancer, calling. She belongs to the city of God. I said, just a moment, let me pray. She said, you've been trying for 4 or 5 days to get a hold of you. I said, let me go into my room. I went into the room and studied a little while. Holy Spirit said, please go to me. They had the worst case I could have gotten. We had to drive through the forest, through the hills, and everything else, and the plane was snowbound. That's what the Lord tells me to go to Munich, came on the phone, telling him I'm on the road, stand over there and speak to me, stand in the people's car. I got down there in the doctor and all that, said to her, walked in the room where she was and laid hands on her. Said, the Lord Jesus sent me here that you might be healed. She got right up, walked out of it, we might catch the Lord's phone. Where it was called revival, right to break out the country. She passed about a gallon and a half of water and stuff, and about a half hour from that. Weeks later, I was in a meeting here. She sent her and said, I'm feeling fine, Brother Branham. This is fine as you can be. Why? Obedience. Now, each year, you believe if a prayer of faith was said over you, you get well. Do you believe it? How many prayers? What's your prayer card, Sergeant? What number? One of the left. Is 100 up now? I believe we can pray for 100 people right now. What do you think so in the next? I said the next time. Without having to learn. Just pray. I believe every minister in this building should pray with us. Look, friends, your minister has just as much right to pray. Now be ready. Now you sure each one of you got your prayer? Do you believe that if we just make a line here of people, all that whole number, the whole 100 line, and come right down through the line and let us just pray for you, I believe you get well. You boys in this platform tonight just rejoicing and saying thank God for healing me. You go on out of the building and believe that with all your heart. I believe you write your testimony in within the space of a few days that you're perfectly well. Don't you believe that? How many would do that? Go out of here. How many would make a committal to God right now and say, Lord, I believe if the things have been confirmed that this man has said, and I know that they are true as far as the discernment, now, just shake yourself a little bit. Pinch your inside part. Wake up. What more could God do? What more could he do? He couldn't heal you against your faith no more than nothing, could he? And if you do believe him, you're healed anyhow. Is that right? It's your faith in God's word, and he can heal you. Now, don't just believe. Have faith in God. Do you believe him with all your heart? Now look. Now, that you might know the Holy Spirit, will you just be reverent, every one of you, just as reverent as you'd be for a few minutes? Just look this way. That you might know it. You say, well, I believe maybe the Holy Spirit's blessing me. Oh, it's right here. And I'm going to ask our Heavenly Father now if he will heal somebody in this building. Somebody that you could see that's actually healed. And let him show it to me. And you pray for your healing now. And let the Heavenly Father show it to me. And if he hears my voice, or the angel that talked with me said my thoughts in heaven was louder than my voice on earth. He knows what you're thinking about. And if God will just let me see one of you healed, and will confirm that to be so, will you believe with all your heart then that he's here and he's blessing his, that I'm not, remember, I'm not him. I just represent him. I'm his channel here. And remember this, he can move from me anytime he desires to. He goes at his will. God knows I love him, and I want him to always stay with me, for I love to work with his people. It's the greatest pleasure I ever had. But God, he has the right. I have nothing for it on him. He is the one who can lead me whenever he desires. Thank you. But I love him and want him to stay here, but he can leave whenever he wants to, but I trust that I'll have favor with him, and he'll grant his blessings to me. Now, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I don't know any time in life where I was in a prayer meeting of this type when I was any more sincere than I am just now. Well, Lord, you know I'm weak, and I'm tired, and the meeting is long, and
dragging out. And I feel, Lord, that it was right for me to stay here. Or if you would not have led me so, I would have left. No matter what was in the cross, I would have left. But I felt that you wanted me to stay. So I stayed, Father. And I tried to tell to the people, explain to them that you are the one that healed, that you've come to vindicate your servant, and let them know that it's not me, that it's you. You can take or give at your leisure. You're God, and there's none other like you. And now, Father, answer the prayer of those sick people out there, someone, and show it to your servant that you put the blessing of healing upon them, that they are going to be healed, going to get well. And, Lord, it will increase the faith of others. And let them know that you're still here with your servant. Will you hear my prayer, Father? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. I ever want just as reverent as you can be in prayer. Do you really believe that what I've said is in the truth? Have faith, everyone. Now look this way and believe with all your heart that God has answered your prayer. Now will you believe me if he shows me, everyone there in here, you know that I believe he said this section here was wrote for the sick. This section here, I don't know. Is that right? All right, you people right in this line in here, then look this way. Just believe with all your heart. That's it. I can't tell whether it's the lady here or the man. I believe it's you, sir, with the back trouble. All right. Will you obey me as God's servant and believe me? All right. I want you to get up, walk out the back of that tent, raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me, for your back trouble has rested. Walk out the back of the tent there and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Sister, you have a desire in your heart, don't you? A little lady there sitting right back behind the lady here was there, and you would think of it. There's a desire in your heart for something, isn't it? Isn't exactly as sickness as the affliction of some sort, isn't it? A deep, sincere crave for something. Is that true? Would you think of it for a moment? Is this lady here speaking so hard right in front of her? Yes, you see the lady in the back, the young lady there. About. Look this way. Had to get above this lady right here because she's thinking about the little black girl sitting there. And I'm trying my best to see. Yes. I see what it is. Sir. All right. Now, you're a stranger, aren't you? Sir? I don't know you. But if God has revealed to me and show me just exactly what you have seen. Would you believe me? You've been barren, haven't you? Without children. Your desire, your child, isn't that right? May God grant your desire. Do you believe that God will believe? May God give you the baby that you desire. Now believe with all your heart. God is you. Have faith. Don't doubt. Now let's see back just a little piece farther. Everyone look at this. Have mercy, God. Yes? Here's coming one right here. I believe it's the lady with the white hat. Right there. With the white hat on. No, it isn't. It's the lady right behind her with the brown suit on. Stand up, sister. Yes, you had cancer, didn't you? It's left you now. You can go on home rejoicing. And the man right behind you, that patch over his ear, it's cancer too, isn't it, brother? Have faith in God, all right? God bless you. Go home, be healed up. God bless your nervousness and all his blessings. You remove and go. Now down in this section here, see if there's any sick people in here. Look this way, everyone now, and have faith. Now, I can only speak as the Holy Spirit says. There we go, rejoice. Let's say thank God. I'm not too sure just where it's coming from, but I believe it's the lady with the little girl in her arms. There's something wrong. You, isn't it, sister? Is it a female trouble that's bothering you? Is that right? Stand up on your feet. All right, you're healed now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Just a moment. Here's someone else. This lady sitting here with the black dot, white dotted dress on. She has female trouble too, don't you, sister? Raise up. You're healed now. God bless you. That's me. Okay. Now let's see the cripple. You crippled people, look this way and believe. Have faith. Does your voice seem better, sister? For the heart trouble? Yes, ma'am. It's going to be all right. You feel all right, sonny boy? You're going to be well now. Look at happy little Pop, how he is. Stand up, honey, so the people can see you. He was heart trouble the other night. Laying there, he couldn't hold himself still. There he is. He was heart trouble. Bless his little heart. See the aged woman laying there. Look this way, lady. Poor old mother, gray-headed. Look this way now. Have faith. You're stranger, sister. Isn't that right? But you're suffering. You're bound with rheumatism. Is that right? I look and believe. Do you believe this is the same spirit that told the woman at the well her sins and told her to go get her husband? Do you believe it's the spirit of Christ? You're a sinner yourself, lady. Isn't that right? You haven't given your life to Christ. If you give your heart to Christ, your rheumatism will leave you. Would you believe that with all your heart? And you move now and give your heart to Christ. I'd rise up from that thing and go out there in the field. You can walk. Go out and the Lord Jesus bless you. Look down this way, crippled. People. Brother, sitting here blind, these glasses on. Yeah, you, it's raise your hand. You believe with all your heart? You believe that God will make you whole? Will you accept my words as God's servant? You will? All right. I'm going to say to you, if you'll rise from there and exercise your faith, Jesus Christ will give you your sight. Stand up on your feet. Walk out the tent door over here. Go on, you can see. Go on, walk. Everyone ever, please. Young man, you've been down for some time too, haven't you? You believe Jesus? Look, young man, you'll be bound to the chair as long as you live if you don't exercise faith and believe. Do you believe that now that you're sitting in his presence? You do? All right. I want you to rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ, you walk on out. You're not bound anymore to the power of hell. Bound. You believe? All your heart? What's the number?
Those with fat cards from start at one and line up according to your number. All of you that can line up, start at one and line up according to your number. We're starting with people.
Ministers to stand here at the end of the line. And as the people come off the platform right here, I want you to stand here and just tell them to praise the Lord as you leave the platform. How many Christians is going to join with us in prayer now? Now, all you people stand here with prayer cards. Every one of you may be healed tonight. Will you now do what I tell you to do? Just a moment until we get... All right, brother. How you feeling now? Go right on out. Let me take that. You can see all right now. Move right on out. You got your sight. Go home. Tell your people what great things Christ has done. Within the next few days, your sight will be just as normal and perfect as it can be. Go home rejoicing. How many of you are saying a prayer right now? Raise your hand to this. Say, Lord God, I now commit myself to you. So help me, God. From this time on, I'm going to testify of my healing regardless of what takes place. Oh, eternal God, bless these people who are blessed in thy name. May every person that crosses this platform leave the platform shouting, rejoicing, and happy. They've seen your works now for many, many days, some 15 days, and they know that you're here and know all the things of their heart. Now, Lord, for the first time in my life, since you commissioned me to go and to pray for the sick, get the people to believe you, I start tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. They're getting the people to believe as I lay hands upon them, seeing that discerning each thought and heart takes so much time, Lord, many are waiting. I pray that you'll heal each one of them in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone, I'll be seated as not with prayer cards. Stand in the line and wait. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I bless this sister for her healing in the name of Jesus Christ. You bring your sister. Go down and go praise God and make her heal. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, heal our dear sister for your glory in Jesus' name. Now, everyone, thank the Lord. Say, thank the Lord. If you leave here, saying you're healed now, this is going to be a sign whether the God wants me to do this or not. See? Now, everybody, believe. Now, remember, as you come, as you believe, so shall it be unto you. How many know that truth? It's your touch that draws the virtue of God down. If you don't believe, don't come. If you believe, come out and be healed. All Christians be in prayer now.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Jesus. Thank you for my...